This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Burr!
Yeah.
Good morning. It's cold.
Good morning.
It's The Gardening Show. I'm Igor, you're Bob, and our phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. And our email address, garden@wesb.com. And we actually do have someone who emailed in. Did you want to do that now or later?
Sure. Yeah.
Ferns is the topic. Diane writes in, thank you for this year's helpful garden knowledge. I enjoy each and every session and appreciate being able to listen to the past ones as well. So she listens online too.
All right.
So
super.
Very cool. Yeah. Live here and then on demand at WESB.com. Anyway, Diane says, would you please address what to do with ferns to prepare them for winter and include asparagus ferns that are in my vegetable garden? I usually let them alone as they have such beautiful berries that give me color, but I noticed my asparagus were thin this year and wonder if I should cut down the ferns. And then she says, you're a blessing to all of us. What? Diane, you're laying it on thick.
Wow, yeah.
And I enjoy the banter between you and whichever DJ is with you this week. Thank you, Diane. Well, Andy was on last week, I think.
Yeah.
I'm on this week, Igor. So, yeah, thank you very much for writing in. Bob, what do you think about her situation?
Okay, she gave a lot of nice clues there for me. And yeah, you should just let your asparagus ferns sit there until spring. Then you cut them down early spring. Or, you know, if you want to go out there in the late winter and cut them down, that's fine too. They weren't as lush as other years, is telling me that it's time to fertilize. And you can do that at any time. Asparagus will do that from time to time. They can be pretty heavy feeders, especially if they produced a lot. And I think this year there was a good production for asparagus. So they probably fed a lot on the soil. And so that also tells me that we may want to replenish some of that. And a lot of people will use just a plain fertilizer, like a 10-10-10, the dry fertilizer, not liquid fertilizer, the dry, because it is there for a longer period of time. It takes a long time for it to break down, dissolve, become available to the plant. So it can be there all winter and even into the spring. And a lot of people will like to do a little top dressing of lime too for their asparagus or bone meal, either one there to help revive them and keep them going. Asparagus can last up to 50 years in your garden.
Wow.
Once you plant them, yeah, you've got them for a long, long time. So it's a good crop to have, and it can even be pretty. You know, just the ferns that are sticking out of the ground right now, if they're green and with the berries on, can be even a nice to look at. So give them a good fertilizing. Sometimes I like to chop up leaves with my lawnmower and put a few inches of that over the top. They can always benefit from a little top dressing, we call it, compost, old leaves, even some mulch maybe. They'll all benefit from that because, again, that will help feed the root system there, so you'll have a better looking crop. Good question though.
Great. All right. Well, thanks a lot for the email, Diane.
And yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed the show. I have no idea if this Facebook is working.
Oh,
there it is.
There it is. Yeah.
It was just a black picture. It's very pixelated though. Gosh, why does it do that sometimes? I don't know. Anyway, facebook.com/WESB1075 is where you can find the show on Facebook. Anyway, we have a topic here. Bob has what would you like to talk about today?
Yeah, some bulbs.
Bulbs.
It's that time of year.
You brought in some bulbs. Okay.
Some of my favorite perennials, really, for a lot of reasons. And I brought along a few. You know, it's going to be hard to see.
Yeah, you get can't up for see a second. It, huh? Yeah.
there's a daffodil bulb, and here's a tulip bulb.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about them a lot, but there are many, many more bulbs out there. And most of them are going to be a perennial. And why I like them so much is they're such an easy perennial and inexpensive. Of course, in years past, I used to always say, you know, 50 cents, you can have a perennial. They're a little bit more now, you know, I'm going to say around $1 a piece. But still, as a perennial plant, that's about as cheap as you'll ever get. And you can have them for decades.
Wow.
The bulbs. If you choose the right kinds. You know, there are some tulips that you get into the real fancy tulips. They're probably only going to be good for a couple years. But most of the tulips you're going to have for decades and decades, even a lifetime. Daffodils, you're going to have them forever. As a matter of fact, if you if you're a hiker or just like to hunt or anything like that through the woods, once in a while you may see in the spring a bunch of daffodils that appear in the middle of the woods. You can probably guarantee that there was a homestead there at one time.
Wow.
And the daffodils outlive the homes even.
Neat.
They're one of those plants.
Now, when you say fancy, yeah, I want to go back to the tulips.
Okay, yeah.
What's the difference between a regular tulip and a fancy tulip?
Okay. The fancy ones are the ones that bloom later. They get much taller. They have more spectacular flowers, a bigger flower. Maybe frilly petals on it. Okay. Yeah.
So the more showy ones aren't as hardy as the...
Yeah, showy. Yeah, that's...
Regular ones.
Usually. Okay. Usually they're not, yeah. Okay. Because it takes a lot of energy for them to produce that bigger flower and a fancier, frillier one. They're just not quite as hardy.
That's fascinating with the daffodils, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was probably a homestead on there hundreds of years ago.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Because that was pretty common, you know, way back in the early 1800s when we're just settling this land, that the man of the house probably, you know, had to do whatever he could to please the woman of the house. And one of the things, you know, would be to purchase and plant some flowers. The lilac being one, and then some bulbs like daffodils for the other. So
make it look purdy.
Yeah, anything he could, because it was a rough life for the woman back then. But in 1634, I'm sorry, going way back, there was a thing called the Tulip Mania, where... tulips became so popular that they were worth as much and sometimes even more than gold was.
Oh, wow.
They became that popular. Tulips come from Turkey, by the way. They developed a few strains that, and this was all in the Netherlands. The Dutch created all this. The tulip became so popular that people were buying tulips before they were even grown. You could purchase a tulip and grow it for a few years. It starts to multiply, and those people were buying those.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, we have a phone call. You want to go to it?
Yeah, let's go to the phone call.
Okay. Hi, The Gardening Show. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about... the garden at the end of the year. I had some trouble with my garden this year, and I had like gray dust appear on it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of my garden died. The leaves turned yellow. So I just wondered, it's a raised bed. Because I had problems with it, should I get rid of all the dirt and everything in it? I mean, it would be a lot of work, but what should I do with the dirt and the plants? The only thing that really survived after all the gray the gray spots. I can't explain it. It was like a gray dust. And I did try to wipe it off with Dawn, but it, I don't know. I must not have done it right.
What kind of vegetables did you have? What kind of stuff was planted in there?
I had zucchini, squash, spaghetti squash, a couple green beans, too many tomatoes.
Yeah.
but that's what I had.
Okay. That gray dust or whatever you had on there is what we call gray mold. That's all it is, a mold, a fungus mold. And if you clean up the garden, you know, get rid of all that dead material, rake it all out, you don't really have to do anything. It was just an environmental thing. A lot of people went through this, that when the temperature and humidity gets just right, this mold can start to grow. It doesn't happen every year. And it's really not a big concern. I would just clean out the garden and,
but the dirt's fine.
The dirt should be all fine. Yeah. There's really nothing you have to do except for a good house cleaning. Make sure you get all that, old plant material out of there and you should be fine for next year. Weather permitting, you know what, Mother Nature's going to throw a curveball at us. A lot of us had that. We had gray mold on some of our plants. It usually comes in late in the season where we've already been able to harvest some. So it's really no big deal. It's just one of the things we have to be prepared for in gardening.
Is there any way to prevent it?
Yeah, there are. As soon as you see it or think it's going to start to appear, one of the things I like to do, and maybe you've heard me mention it before, mix up some hydrogen peroxide in a spray bottle, and you can spray that over the leaves of the plant. And that is a blast of oxygen. It helps strengthen up your plant, and your plant can then help fight off that mold, that fungus mold. There's also, you can put baking soda in water, mix it up, spray it on. That can help. And there are also fungicides out there that you can buy that you can apply, but go by the directions and all those will help solve that problem. But it's really just a environmental Mother Nature thing that when conditions are just right, she's going to produce this. It's in the air everywhere and just no controlling it really.
I hope that answers your question.
It did. So is the hydrogen peroxide full strength?
Oh, no. Just mix a couple tablespoons and a little pint sprayer and spray that on.
With water?
Okay. With water, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, maybe I'll do that as a preventative next year because it was disappointing to have spent all that on the starters, and then I didn't get a whole lot before it took over and all the leaves turned yellow. I mean, are the leaves turning yellow because of the fungus?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know, leaves can turn yellow for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend and better luck next year, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is disappointing when you're looking for, you know, some tasty treats at the end of the season, all your hard work, and then like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back and talk more about bulbs, okay? This is The Gardening Show right here on B107.5.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Make sure you're ready for the cooler weather ahead with a fresh supply of pellets, propane, and heating accessories. You'll find stovepipe, single-wall pellet pipe, and B-vent, and furnace filters. Worth Smith also carries a big supply of gloves for all seasons. And with canning season in full swing, see them for all sizes of canning jars and other canning supplies. Remember, if you need it for fall, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5, 75 years of serving Bradford, WESB. And hey, we should mention Pumpkin Fest is today.
Is it today?
Yeah, downtown Bradford on Main Street, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, terrific.
They're going to have like a bunch of vendors and food trucks and a lot of stuff for the kids and the hay wagon rides. And I saw a thing on there that said bumper cars this year.
I'm no kidding.
I want to check that out. What's that going to be all about? And a free showing of The Witches at 11 o'clock at the movie house.
All right. Yeah, it's a great time, man.
And we'll be there giving out some free stuff between noon and 2.
All right. Good. Good for you.
All right. So we're talking about bulbs today.
Yeah. And so far, I've just mentioned the tulip and daffodil. And I did mention tulip mania in 1634. That was quite a time. And, you know, through what the Dutch did with the tulips and producing them and trading them even ahead of when the tulip was available. Some people bought a tulip, you know, thinking years down the road they would be able to sell that tulip. That was really the start of the stock market. The Dutch invented the stock market, yes. And they've been successful with plants, you know, even up today. Most of the flowers, cut flowers and plants we buy are really due to the Dutch and what they have done. It's just an interesting story reading about tulip mania. But not only tulips and daffodils, there are many other bulbs. There's, you know, crocus and hyacinths. The list just keeps going on and on. There's many, many different bulbs. Now, the tulip can be a problem to most of us, especially in Bradford. We have a lot of deer, a lot of woodchucks. Mm-hmm. That love the tulip flower. And you can plant a tulip and it'll come up and the bud forms and it's just getting ready to open and all of a sudden it disappears because that flower is full of sugar and the deer know it and they'll nip off that flower. And of course, that's very discouraging. Sometimes they'll even pull the whole bulb right out of the ground. So in order to protect the tulip bulbs, always plant a daffodil or two in with your tulips, or not just one or two, plant many. If you plant a tulip bulb, plant a daffodil bulb right beside it. And the daffodil bulb will protect the tulips. The deer really despise daffodils. They'll stay away from them. And in that way, they'll stay away from your tulips. So I really highly recommend planting daffodils with your tulips. I like daffodils. It's probably my favorite bulb because I do live right up against the woods. So I have all kinds of animals in my yard. So it's very difficult to grow some plants because the deer like them. But the daffodil will deter the deer, and along with even garlic will. I don't want to leave that one out as a bulb too. You can buy garlic right from the grocery shelf. You separate the little bulbettes from the main part and plant each one of those just an inch or two below the surface of the soil, and you'll have garlic growing. And again, the smell of that the deer really detest, and that can really deter the deer from coming in and nipping off your tulip flowers.
Yeah, but then you got a Sasquatch problem because you're the garlic. Everybody knows Bigfoot likes the, you know, stinky stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
One or the other. So,
but they don't like daffodils, though. So plant daffodils.
Okay.
and both these, the daffodil and the tulip, and many of the other bulbs, are such an easy plant. They're the easiest perennial you'll ever own. You're going to dig a hole 3 to 4 inches deep. That's it. And only 2 to 3 inches wide. And put the bulb down in the bottom with the pointy end facing up. And then cover it up with soil and maybe tamp it down a little bit with your hand. And then walk away. That's all it's going to take for that bulb. It's going to start developing roots after a few rains. It's going to search out the food it needs. The flower and all the leaves are already inside the bulb. If you cut one open, you'll be able to see even all the plant parts of that bulb. They're already there, so they're ready to come up in the spring. and then flower for you. And really, to me, nothing says spring more than a bunch of daffodils or tulips blooming in your yard.
Now, do all bulbs have the same sun requirements?
Just about, yeah, all of them do. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because they're all going to ask for full to part sun.
Because that's where we messed up. We planted daffodils and it doesn't get enough sun. So we get them for like maybe a half a week and then they die out.
Oh.
Like we get a lot of the green, but then not a lot of the flowers.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of us, you know, even under a maple tree, oak tree, those trees that lose their leaves, that's shady this time of year, but early spring, it's not shady. So it's full sun then. And that's a good place even to plant daffodils and tulips underneath a deciduous tree. Mm. Now, evergreen trees, they hold their needles or their leaves. And so that would be a bad place to plant bulbs. Or on the north side of the house where your house is shading, that's also a bad place to plant bulbs. But
and it's kind of in a nook, too, like between the steps and the side of the house, like it's in a corner. It just, yeah, it's shaded too much.
Shaded too much, yeah. And another thing that they're just picky about is they don't like to be wet for long periods of time. So don't plant them near a downspout. Don't plant them near a place where water may lay through the winter, because that would be death to a bulb. But other than that, bulbs are really not picky at all. You can plant them just about anywhere, including underneath those maple and oak trees. And they will come up and flower with no trouble at all for years and years and years.
Well, I am I'm motivated now.
Oh, good, good.
My wife wanted to dig the bulbs back up. Can you do that? Would that work?
Yeah, you can do that.
Dig them up and plant them in a better place.
They're so forgiving. You know, they're such an easy plant to, after they flowered, the foliage has died back, which is going to happen. You can dig them up and store them until you want to. Put them in another place, store them in a cool, dark place. Then you can plant them somewhere else. Again, digging 3 to 4 inches deep, sticking them in there, then filling the hole back up and tapping it. And that the bulb will never miss a beat in that way.
So this is a good time of year to start?
Yes. This is the best time of year to start planting your bulbs.
Great.
Again, the easiest perennial you'll ever plant, the cheapest perennial you'll ever plant. I just can't say enough about tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, crocus. They're all great.
Do these attract like bees or any?
Yes.
They do.
That's another good point. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, for those of us that are really concerned about the
pollinators. Yeah.
You know, they're going to be blooming real early in the spring, so you get that nice sunny day where the pollinators wake up, they'll have something to feed on. So you're doing a good by giving yourself some enjoyment and the pollinators some enjoyment, too.
Good. We have 5 minutes left in the show. The phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. If you have a question for Bob about your garden or your flowers or your veggies or your trees, we're here to help.
Now, I did mention a little bit about garlic, you know, and I just have a fascination with it. I don't eat it a lot, you know, a little bit here and there.
Oh, but it's good for you.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. But it's another one of those bulbs that's real easy, you know, and less even to where you only plant them like an inch or two in the soil. And it helps deter the woodchucks and the deer and the rabbits. Also, you never have to dig it up. You can leave them there. They will multiply. You can even let it go to flower, and they will produce seed. Those seeds will drop and become more garlic for you. But, of course, you can dig them up. Most of the time, it's not even dig them up. It's just pull them out of the ground because they're planted so shallow. And dry them out, wash them off. And they're ready to use in the kitchen. So garlic, it has a lot of uses. It's a very useful plant. I always plant some garlic, or I just leave it, some of that I've planted in my vegetable garden, because it helps keep the deer and the rabbits out of my vegetable garden. That way I never even have to fence. So that garlic is very useful. And even to the point where if we have plants far away from where the garlic is and the deer are starting to bother it, we can cut some of the foliage off of the garlic plant, put that in some water, make a garlic tea, spray it on those other plants. We can even make enough to go all the way through the winter, and that'll help keep the deer away from some of the shrubs that they've been bothering. So it has a lot of uses, and the list is just going to go on and on with garlic.
Now, how many generations or how many years do you think that would be good for? Is it just continuing, just like the flowers?
It is. It's
earlier?
Continuing.
You plant
it's
it once, and then it's there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Indeed. Or you can dig it all up and use it and replant again. You know, they're easy to come by. It's neat to even experiment because there are hundreds of different varieties of garlic.
Oh, my gosh.
And so,
I had no idea.
Yeah, hundreds of them. And so you can find the different ones and try them, and maybe you'll find the one that you really enjoy a lot. Again, you know, they even flower, so they can be kind of pretty, too.
So there's what, like garlic, honey garlic, garlic parmesan's my favorite.
Oh,
garlic.
Yeah.
And the chicken wings. That's something different. Okay.
Yeah, garlic's a good spice on just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work on peanut butter and jelly, but everything else it does.
8:58, so that means we have 2 minutes left. What else can we talk about? Bulbs.
Oh.
Did you want to mention something else real quick? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll mention something else here real quick, and I'll probably go on next week about it.
Oh, good. A little teaser.
I wanted to mention about the cactus, another great plant. It's an exclusive American plant, grows from Central America on up into Canada, the cactus, the real cactus. It grows nowhere else on earth. It's all American. Now, there are cactus plants in other countries now, but they've been taken from America to those other countries. Swollen plant. That's all water in there, and they make great houseplants too. Excellent houseplants.
Just don't fall into them.
Yeah, just don't fall into them. One of the neat things about cactus, even growing them from seed, that I get a big thrill out of. You know, even though we picture them, you know, that round ball with all those spiky needles out of it, when they first germinate and start to grow, they have leaves on them. And of course, after they've grown a little while, they shed those leaves, and all those leaves become those spikes or needles.
Mm.
And we have to be careful with those because a lot of them are barbed like a fish hook. So if we do get stuck by one, they're very difficult to pull out.
Ouch.
Yeah. So always be careful. Maybe if you're going to work with cactus, purchase a pair of leather gloves because it's well worth it. But cactus are a lot of fun.
And we'll talk a lot about them next week.
Right? You bet.
That's amazing. All right, great. Because I always thought they were really neat, too.
They are.
You know? Especially, you know, growing up the whole time watching, you know, Looney Tunes, you know, oh, there's cactus in the background.
Yeah.
Hey, we could have that as a houseplant now. All right. So we will talk all about cacti next week. And whatever else that you'd like to talk about. Via the phone or the email, garden@wesb.com. The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. And you can catch it on demand at wesb.com under the Listen tab. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks.
All right. It's B107.5.